You know, one of the rules that they teach you in homiletics class in Bible college, that's the class that teaches you how to preach. One of the rules is the rule of using the proper amount of self-disclosure. And what that rule is designed to rein in is how much you talk about yourself and also how deeply you will allow your listeners into your heart. And I think it's a very good rule, and I always keep it in mind, especially when I'm teaching and even when I am helping others, people that I am kind of shepherding and teaching them how to preach. I always keep that rule alive and well here at Westbridge. Tonight, however, I am going to bend, if not totally break, that rule by spending my preaching time talking about me. Yeah, what an incredible year it has been for me. I know it sounds a little bit boring and self-serving, but nonetheless, I am anxious to share with you all that 2019 has been, how exciting and incredibly important of a year that it has been in my life. And as I reflect here at the tail end of this Christmas season, I realize that really God did not wait until Christmas time to fill my year with gifts. He did not wait. Instead, he sent these valuable bestowments to me throughout the year. God has been pouring these gifts on me all year long. Now, these valuable presents came to me in several forms, but most notably, they came in the form of groundbreaking truth that God showed me. They came in the form of invaluable knowledge that he imparted, and they came to me in the form of life-freeing enlightenments. And I'll be honest with you, these are more valuable to me than anything money can buy. So tonight, if I may beg your indulgence, I would like to go a little deeper into my heart than usual and share just three of the freeing, life-infusing, and incredibly beneficial gifts that God gave me this year. And they are quite eclectic. We're all over the place. I opened the first present in March. Allow me to set this up. Now, this first present, by the way, is going to be very helpful if you are someone who gets angry watching the news, or if you find politics exasperating. Well, this first present will help with that. It will help with that negative attitude that you may be dealing with. I guess it all started, you see, back on February 26th, that is when I crossed the bridge. Now, what I mean is that is when I went to experience and to share life among a group of people that I had never met before. I stayed there with them, among them. I met with them weekly, and we all shared common struggles, and we shared common successes, and encouraged one another. I knew absolutely no one, as they were complete strangers to me at that time. But in those gatherings, which took place on their soil, on their turf, I went there. I crossed the bridge to them. I got to hear how they live. And they got to know me. Friends, I'll tell you, it was quite a different feel with the whole church thing out of the mix and the whole spiritual atmosphere that I'm used to. That was absent in this environment. But I'll tell you, that seemed to allow an opportunity to learn even more about what non-churched people do and how they see things and how they live, what they struggle with. That time across the bridge, along with a few other, there were other non-church, non-pastoral interactions this year, brought me to this first enlightenment, first present of God, and that is this. Don't be shocked when lost people act lost. Now, don't get me wrong. I have spent 30 years living with firemen. I have been leading firemen for 30 years, almost all of who do not know God, and I cannot tell you how many times I walked away from a conversation shaking my head in utter disbelief at the dysfunction that a lot of these people run headlong into and embrace quite vigorously. But this year, across the bridge, God brought to life the truth of certain scriptures about the lost. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe, the non-church, the non-believers. They're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. In Romans chapter 1, verse 28, it says, since these people refuse to even think about God, he let their useless minds rule them. That's why they do all sorts of indecent things. Westbridge's first present from God was a gift that stopped my head from shaking in disbelief and allowed me to see people's actions differently. Don't be shocked or surprised when lost people act lost. This first present is important because it really can be disconcerting when we followers of Jesus, when we think that the whole world should be running on and living our rules, that they should be living out our values. We think that should be the case. We can find ourselves becoming very annoyed. We can get super frustrated and very angry at lost people because they seem to be working, and they are working directly against and in direct opposition to our most sacred beliefs and our most life-giving foundational values. Now, the rub is that for some weird reason, we think lost people should not act lost. When we think that, when we think that's what they should be doing, well, then our love starts to erode, doesn't it? Our compassion fades, and our empathy disappears. Instead of being kind, instead of being understanding and sympathetic rescuers sent by a merciful and gracious God, instead we can get harsh, and we can get judgmental. God's first present to me in 2019 was to remind me of Ephesians chapter 2, which tells us this. It wasn't so long ago that you were mired in that old stagnant life of sin, Drew. You let the world, which doesn't know the first things about living, tell you how to live life. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it, all of us, doing what we felt like doing, when we felt like doing it, all of us in the same boat. It's a wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with a whole lot of us. Instead, immense in mercy and with an incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did this on his own with no help from us. Friends and fellow God followers, don't be surprised when lost people act lost. Instead, change your expectation to be filled with compassion like God is and does. Lost sheep finders, don't get exasperated by the loved one who falls into the same hole that has tripped them up countless times before. Instead, pray for them and ask God what your role is to be in helping them find him. Christ followers, do not give up hope. Don't look down with contempt. Don't be appalled by those who work against you and promote what your life stands against. Instead, let your light shine so brightly that they can't help but see a difference in you so that it is so magnetic and so irresistible that they long for that same thing in their lives. Present number one taught this bridge crosser, don't ever drop your standards. Never compromise God's holiness or never compromise his righteousness and never, ever abate the scriptures in any way. But while you're doing that, never be shocked or surprised when lost people act lost. What a tremendously important gift to receive in 2019. Almost as good as present number two. Present number two, let me set this up. Present two is very helpful if you ever start to feel like God's way of living, if you ever start to feel like God's way is out of touch with the way things are here in our world today. You're going to like present two. You see, we all know that when God builds our life, he will guide us to do things his way. Present number two showed me that no matter how opposite of the world things God asks us to do things, his way is always the best way and the right way. You see, this year has been a year where I talked to a lot of people about leavings, moving ons, necessary endings. I saw a lot of people move away from relationships and social groups and even geographic regions that were very hard for them to leave. I put myself in that group as well. Not everyone who was on my train last year is on my train this year. Partings are a natural part of life, but God has used this year of partings to intensify my appreciation for my traveling partners, to show me the wonder of what happens when you allow God to build your band of brothers and sisters. And when I use that term, I mean one's ministry partners, one's friends, your fellow travelers that you will walk the road to the celestial city with, your teammates, your loved ones, your posse. The initial unwrapping of this gift came during our annual motorcycle ride. It was early on morning number two, and we were in Front Royal, Virginia. It was early in the morning, and it was raining, and we were about to take a very fast right-hand curve, and one of our riders on their bike went down, and it was not a minor event. Now, I was way in front of that. I was up near the front of the pack, and word got to me quickly. So me and the rest up front, we wheeled around, and we raced back. And as I came upon the scene in that curve, I saw all my friends busily helping, planning, assisting, working. And I was overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed by the care, the diligence, the ingenuity, and the spirit of my gang, my God-built band of brothers. Now, we mopped everything up, but the rest of the trip I thought about how God had knitted these complete strangers together as something that, to me, has really become a part of who I am. God put an exclamation point on this present for me, and I got to fully open the present just 8 days ago. 8 days ago. You see, 8 days ago, I had the, I don't think I'm exaggerating here, I believe 8 days ago was the most busy, the most intense, and the most demanding day of my life. The day started at 4:30 in the morning by packing up everything that needed to be packed to go to a wedding outside of Washington, D.C. There were so many things that needed to go right that day, that Friday. So many things had to go right, and we had absolutely zero control over it, and we had no contingency plan if any one of those things happened. If any one of those balls were dropped, it would be a disaster. a disaster for us and for everybody else who's depending on us. And to be honest, I felt personally responsible for all of it. I felt responsible to get around the Washington, D.C. traffic on time. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in Washington, D.C. traffic. Picture a third world country. That's it. That's it. That's done. I felt personally responsible to drop off everything from my truck at the rehearsal dinner and then get right back in my truck 5 minutes later, spin around and drive back through that traffic that I came through to get back to the airport. I felt personally responsible to get the groom out of Fort Rucker, Alabama on a 5 a.m. flight after a 4 a.m. muster, to get this flight out that it wouldn't be canceled, wouldn't be delayed, wouldn't have any problems at all. I felt personally responsible to get the groom picked up and delivered back through that traffic to the courthouse to get the marriage license. I felt responsible to get me and everybody else to the rehearsal. And then I felt responsible to get the trays of food to the rehearsal dinner from some place I'd never been before, never seen before, know nothing about, and get these to the rehearsal dinner piping hot, and then to run the rehearsal dinner. Now, I say all this, not to complain, but to tell you proudly, our process to do all this was beautiful. Beautiful. Never, ever, ever, with all that pressure on our backs, did a single crummy word come out of us. Never a bad attitude. Never anything harsh, not a single bad action. We just did it, and we did it happily. But that evening, when I was on like the last two jobs of the day, bringing those trays of food, massive trays of food that were so heavy, it was like Samson would have trouble carrying these things. And all I could picture was this food, going and lasagna all over the floor, and then people not having anything. I saw like a picture. I called Miss Kelly as I'm getting close to rehearsal dinner. I said, Miss Kelly, I have heavy trays of food that need to be brought in. They got to be handled with unbelievable care. There's a lot of them. Can't be any mistakes. And Miss Kelly says, don't worry. I know just what to do. 3 minutes later, I arrive at the rehearsal dinner hall. I come around the corner, and then I saw a sight that made my heart almost burst. There, standing on the curb in the freezing cold, ready to help me, were my friends, my teammates, my band of brothers. Throughout that day, unbeknownst to me, they had all arrived. They had all gotten there on their own at different times. Now, here they were, standing in the cold, looking to help me because Miss Kelly had told them, Drew needs help. And I was overwhelmed. My friends, when I saw that curb, my friends looked like the Magnificent Seven. Only more magnificent. I threw that car in the park. I jumped out of that car and I ran to them and I jumped on it, threw my arms around as many of them as I could. I felt like a bruised and battered Captain America standing against the world in Endgame. And all my friends showing up. We got it to save the day. That moment fully unwrapped present number two. A present that says, when God builds your world, it can't get built any better. Before Westbridge Community Church was ever planted in 2002, I didn't know a single one of those men. Now, they are as close as family to me. And it all came because God built it for me by saying, follow me. Do what I tell you to do with your life. Mark chapter 8, verse 35. If you give up your life for my sake, Jesus says, if you give up your life for my sake, And for the sake of the good news, you will save it. We will find life at its fullest by giving our lives to God. We find real love by handing God our life. We find out who we are and who we were designed to be by saying to God, here, take my life. You run it. I believe in you. I stand here on the cusp of 2020, a very happy, totally blessed, and fully fulfilled man, because when God builds your family, when God builds your friends, when God builds your world, when God builds your adventure, it can't get built any better. Lastly, present number three. Now, you will find this present to be very useful if you have been neglecting certain things, and if you've been taking other things for granted, you will like present number three. This year for me and for others, this was a year of wake-up calls. From spiritual awakenings to medical crises, 2019 was a year of wake-up calls, and God sent a third present, a realization through them all, and that was this: when God sends a wake-up call, answer it. See, the thing about wake-up calls is they aren't designed to be happy events. They don't usually tell you something you want to hear, like, get up. This year, I watched God make wake-up calls saying, your heart isn't working right. I watched God send wake-up calls saying, one of your relationships needs fixing. I watched God send a wake-up call saying, your blood pressure is out of control. I watched God send wake-up calls saying, you need to move your residence. Wake-up calls saying, you need to change your job. Wake-up call saying, you need a knee replacement. Wake-up calls that said, you need to change how you're living, and more. Now, when it comes to wake-up calls, it isn't so much that God makes those calls. No. The issue is, will you answer that call? Will you act on it? Will you take action? Will you do what needs to be done and address what needs to be addressed? A few years back, a friend of mine received a wake-up call when his bills started piling up. We talked, and it was clear that a change needed to happen as far as his employment and his income were concerned. Well, my friend answered that call. Now, it took a while. It did take a while, but just a few years later, I talked to my friend. You know what he said to me? He said, Drew, I grossed $118,000 last year. He didn't say it was anything, just more of a matter of fact. I thought, wow. As I walked away, I thought, that took a few years, but my friend answered that wake-up call. And now that problem that once was crushing, gone. Another friend this year received a bad medical diagnosis. Now, those are never fun. But they decided to answer the call and to act on it. And I'm very pleased to say that my friend is on the road to recovery. Friends, God's wake-up calls to us need to, or they can address our finances. His wake-up calls to us, they can address our physical health, and they can address our spiritual condition. But the most important learning in gift number three for me is that second part. We can't ignore wake-up calls. We can't sweep them under the rug and get to them another day. We can't, don't do this one. Don't half-heart it. Don't half-heart a wake-up call for what's necessary. It was a lot of effort-filled steps, a lot of effort-filled steps for my friend to get to that financial health. It was a trying and a tough journey for my other friend who reclaimed their health. But they answered the wake-up call. They answered it by doing what God told them needed to be done to fix the problem. Let me ask you, has your phone been ringing? Has God been sending you a wake-up call? Is there something that you've been hanging on to that's actually keeping you from what God wants for you? Is there something that God wants you to do that you've been ignoring or sweeping under the rug or going through the motions on? Wake-up calls are designed to alert you that something special is at hand. They are meant to signal you that something important needs to begin. Gang, when God sends a wake-up call, answer it. The greatest wake-up call God would send you is the one where he stands at your heart's door and signals to you that he is there and that he wants to come in to your life. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus says this, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice, open the door, and I will come in." Every one of us is here tonight listening because God wanted us here. And he very well may be dialing you up right now on a wake-up call. He may be standing at your heart's door knocking, waiting for you to answer, waiting for you to ask him to come in and do life with him before the calendar turns 2020. I encourage you, answer the call. As the band returns and the worship leaders come back and our prayer warriors come to my right, I'm going to ask that you pray with me. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Lord, I want to thank you that 2019 is a year where you spoke. We watched, Lord, as we crossed the bridge, we watched as you brought us to new people and expanded our worlds. Lord, I pray that you would help us to realize that these were not things that we dreamed up, but they were ordained by you, that you are building our life, even when it comes to going and finding the lost one. And Lord, I pray that you'd continue that process in our life now, building us the way you want us built. If there's something we need to do, have us do it. If there's a friend you want us to befriend, help us to do that. Lord, I pray that you would help us to, even though things seem odd the way you ask us to do them compared to what the world's doing today, let us know that your way is the best and yours is the one we can't shortcut. We can't trade it in for something, well, here's what everybody's doing. Instead, we do it your way because when you build it, it is the best way to have it built. And lastly, Lord, if you are sending wake-up calls to people now, give them the strength and the courage through your spirit to answer the call. Let each of them have a success story to tell in 2020 of how they received a call in 2019 and they answered it. And now things are on the road to better. Lord, we leave ourselves in your hands, knowing that it's the best place to be. And if there are any tonight, Lord, that need to ultimately give their life to you, to say yes to your gift, if they've been putting it off, if they've been half-hearting it, I pray tonight, Lord, they would say, take my life. Help me to lose it to you that I would find it in life to the full that you promise. If that's your prayer tonight, you simply need to say yes to him in your heart. Yes to his answer of knocking on your door. Open it. and say, come in. I've sinned. It's dirty in here, but you can clean it out. I give you permission to go to every part. Make me clean. Now, Lord, set up residence and help me to live life as a shining example for you. Leave ourselves in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, I want to thank you for this incredible year, and I pray that you would use all of our work to continue to advance your kingdom. Thank you for continuing to pour into us as you use us as your vessels, and I pray that you would help that to continue to happen throughout this next 2020s all the way to the end until we see 2030. Lord, I pray that you would continue to lead us forward. Thank you for the incredible, incredible relationships you've given us, and thank you for this church and the way you allow us to meet together in a rented building where we can just enjoy your company and that your spirit fills the place and makes this our home. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. Amen. We spent the last 5 minutes talking with one another. Don't rush out. Say some hello to everybody, and Merry Christmas, and we'll see you in 2020.